Welcome everyone, welcome listeners. I'm here with
Iman
and Gabriella,
and my name's Sheldon, and we're about to start our first podcast.
Woo!
So
I was not planned.
So here we go. I think we talked about wanting to focus on the health and wellness, and for today's podcast, talking a little bit about technology and how technology relates to health and wellness. How does it come into our lives? What does the future look like? So here we go. We're hoping to talk for 45 minutes to an hour, just have an open discussion and get some different thoughts out on the table. And we really hope you enjoy listening.
Awesome, great. Well, about 10 minutes before we started this podcast, we were chatting a bit about the idea of universal basic income. If you're not familiar with universal basic income, basically in a nutshell, it's the idea that all people, part of a society, get basically a basic stipend to, pay for all of their basic needs. Now, an interesting thing, myself and Sheldon were at a Meaning of Life fireside chat on Friday, and at some point they mentioned all of these, studies that have been done and how great it's been working all over the world. And one interesting thing they mentioned was the idea of topping up someone's income rather than giving everyone an equal amount, for no reason at all or for a specific reason. The idea is to just top up someone's income to a basic level, which I thought was really interesting because I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, well, they were saying that they had done studies. There has been studies conducted, and I think it was in Manitoba, Canada. What it was interesting because one of the things that was brought up was whether or not prices will raise if we start to see a universal based income.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody is getting, $10,000, if say that's the base income, then are we gonna see prices in stores? Are we gonna see what would normally be luxury items or not so luxury items really shoot up to be available for the higher class? Are we gonna see increases in rent?
Where are the government gonna get the money?
Well, I mean, we have taxes. We pay taxes, to build roads and pay for our health care and so on. So it could just be part of the budget.
Which is true, right? Because when you're taking money from someone, someone else has to pay for that. So I don't really like the idea of that because of the fact that, there's going to be some people that are going to be less deserving, and then they're just going to get free or extra money for just doing nothing. While all the other part of the spectrum where there's going to be people that are really hardworking, right? They're going to be taxed heavily, or they're going to get their income deducted or whatever deducted because of the fact that the government is trying to balance everything out, right? That's where I see it from.
Yeah, if you're on the other side of the spectrum and you're making, you're making more than what that universal based income is,
mm-hmm.
and there's also going to be the situation where you have people that are maybe just like borderlining that basic income, and they're not going to be available to make anything. They're not going to be able to get anything out of this universal based income. But I think the idea behind this, let's call it UBI,
mm-hmm.
Is that it's not going to be a large sum of money. Like, this is not going to be, money that you're just going to be, blowing. It's going to be really just like your basic necessities to make sure that you have the most basic housing, that you have the most basic, food.
Don't we have welfare for that?
Yes, we do. But I think, first of all, I think welfare has a lot of stigma behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the introduction to this UBI is not so much about supporting people who need to be supported, but also recognizing that in the future, AI is going to play a major role in employment.
Definitely.
I was just I just saw this video where it was a restaurant and all of the actual cook positions were all automated. You know, it was a fast food restaurant. They had automatic, you know, flippers. Everything was automatic. And, you know, there were some suggestions that maybe, you know, these organizations putting forward and using this type of automation should have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Because those are jobs that people would have worked had they been there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, part of the argument is the technology aspect is... once we start to advance and really move into the fourth industrial revolution, we're not going to have enough jobs. We're not going to have enough things to do for people. And so you have all these people that will be displaced. And on top of that, you have all of the people that are already living under the poverty line. And those people will stand absolutely zero chance. Their chances will be so much lower because now they can't get a job even if they wanted to. And they won't have enough to meet their own basic needs. I think part of just to the point of, you know, people that are deserving of it versus not deserving of it, I think what comes into play for me is who decides whether or not human beings are deserving of their basic needs being met? From my perspective, like, I value human life, and I think all human beings deserve basic needs. They deserve housing, they deserve, you know, secure shelter, they deserve freedom to, you know, access education, to learn, and to do the things that they find enjoyable. And the truth is, a lot of people don't have that. And one way of potentially solving that, I'm not sure that it will, but one way of solving that is universal basic income, because it would give everyone the basic needs. And then if you happen to be a person that is more motivated and you want more things for yourself, then you're free to go get those things. And the challenges will be, you know, that present in front of you will be just as, you know, present as they would have been if we didn't have UBI. I wonder what you think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, everybody deserves at least the basic necessities of life, like roof under their head, right? Oh, roof above their head, water, the things that they need to survive, right? But did they say when they were going to, like, you know, talk seriously or implement this, or it was just an idea?
I think it's an idea that different places are starting to test. Like, they're testing whether or not this is actually going to be something that can be realistically done. Because obviously, you know, if something like this is implemented, it's going to change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change society. And yeah, I think I wouldn't be able to say exactly when this would come into play, but I think within the next 25 years, we'd start be really seeing, it's starting to be implemented.
Yeah, especially, like, you know, now look at the businesses, like the big businesses, they're implementing AI algorithms and things like that. I was listening to I believe it was a podcast where there's this girl, right, and she was just started ordering food on Amazon, and then the machine recognized something. The machine recognized that, oh, this girl is pregnant before she even knew she was pregnant. But she started ordering food, and then the dad, right, because she lives at home with her parents, and then the dad was like, why are you sending me all these stuff, right? Like, my kid is not pregnant. So she took a test, and then they showed that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, all these companies now have access to our data, and, like, they can use AI, and, you know, that's so much power and potential to what you can do with it. It's kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
To, you know, look at what happened to Facebook. You know, they have everyone's data, and then when that data got leaked, it just messed up the politics, right?
Yeah, I mean, it always kind of brings me back to, you know, I'm someone who's always trying to adopt, you know, kind of a simple lifestyle, and, you know, after doing a lot of traveling and living with, you know, very few luxury items or kind of separated from technology, I realized that you can live a really happy lifestyle without having so much. And that kind of brings me to the question of, you know, do we think that technology is moving in the right direction, or should we be starting to move backwards? I know it's strange for me because I always hear, yes, like, don't worry, technology is, you know, we may be having a lot of problems about, like, the future of the world now, but technology will continue to advance and we will fix those problems with more technology. When it seems like technology sometimes is the reason that we're coming to, you know, have these problems. And these problems are, I think of as, you know, global warming, you know, employment, increased mental health. You know, these kids nowadays are growing up, I have a 2-year-old sister, and she's growing up with, like, technologies and phones that we just never even had, like, the thought of having when we're a kid.
Yeah, when we were kids, we were playing outside. Now kids these days are on their phone, they just want to stay inside the house, right?
Yeah,
it's totally opposite.
Yeah,
like, imagine 10 years from now or 20 years from now where the world's gonna be.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more on the pro-technology side. I think that it has the potential to solve a lot of problems and to make a lot of things a lot more efficient and effective and just quicker. I also do, you know, acknowledge that it also poses potential risks. In many, many ways, it could go wrong. And we could go, like, we have several possibilities ahead of us. And I think the question is, what are we going to do with technologies? And what are we all doing as people, as policymakers, for example, as organizations, as businesses? What are we doing to use technology in a way that will benefit everyone in the future, as well as us now? I think that's a better question to ask, rather than say, you know, is technology bad for us and is it going to end up being our demise? Because it's inevitable. We've been using technology since the beginning of civilization. Agriculture was technology. It was a form of it. You know, writing was a form of technology. Movies was a form of technology. Music, everything around us is technology if you look at it from that angle. And everything around us has the potential of having a negative or a positive effect on each one of us. I think the question is, how do we choose to engage with the things that are around us? And yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, I can agree, and technology seems to be just everything in general. Every invention, everything that, even the speech and the language is some form of linguistics that we learned as well, right? The ability to communicate. And I guess it comes down to, how do we know if we're using technology the right way? You know, how do we know? You know, I often think about this a lot, is how much time Facebook, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm using it for so much time, maybe messaging my friends, and I wonder, you know, well, what happens if I get rid of Facebook and I change all my communications to, like, face-to-face communications? Would that be necessarily better? And I mean, maybe that's a tough question to answer, but I feel like the way technology has come into the world has changed the way that we communicate.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess one answer to that would be test things out. If you want to know what the impact would be of switching over from social media or tech, you know, influence communication to face-to-face, then try it out. Try it out for 6 months and then, you know, document how that's going for you and notice whether or not it has had an impact on you and what areas. And there you have the answer.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I wouldn't be here for this podcast.
But there is, you know, communication face-to-face is definitely, we can all agree that it is better.
Yeah.
Right? That when you have a technology like Facebook where you can connect from people, you know, hundreds of miles away where you don't need to be there face-to-face, it gives you that opportunity and power to communicate as if you were face-to-face, then that's a whole different power. You know, there's a different power to it too.
Yeah.
Just like you said, you know, it's how we use the technology, right? There's always going to be upsides and downside. It's like a knife, right? In the hands of a doctor, it's something good, but in the hands of a criminal, something bad.
Yeah, that's
right?
A perfect analogy.
That is really
awesome.
Where's the clap for that?
Yeah. I love so, that. Okay.
Anything else you guys want to cover?
Well, so technology and well-being. So that's a point we brought up. How do you guys feel about the impact of it on our well-being?
Sheldon?
Well, I mean, I've noticed that there's a few different apps that I can think about that have changed the way that that have helped me with my well-being and helped me live a healthier. I'll give you an example. I have an app that I use for sleep, and it wakes me up in the middle of I think it's within my REM sleep or just after my REM sleep. But I wake up and I feel great, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when I go to sleep. Though I mean, to a certain degree, you know, I can't go to bed for 2 hours. Yeah. But even if I do sleep a little less, this will. So say I decide to set my alarm for 6 a.m. It will wake me up within 5:30 at 6 a.m.
That's awesome.
And I'll just feel really rested. So that was a pretty unique way that I use technology. I also use technology for learning a lot, which I think is important to well-being. As you guys know, I'm learning Spanish. Hola, compadres. So that's been a really great tool for me. But again, I think it's also depending on your situation, because I keep going back to, you know, when I wasn't traveling in Ecuador, I didn't use any of that stuff. I was very much just out in nature, and I was doing so well with myself that I didn't need to set alarm clocks. It was the sun that woke me up.
Circadian rhythm.
It was the roosters, the animals, you know.
I love the sound of roosters.
What's your relationship with technology and
well-being? Well, I used to use that app before, the REM sleep app, and what they say is, you know, the best, if you want to optimize your day, you want to wake up during a certain time, which after REM sleep, right? And that app is going to tell you when your REM sleep is, so it's going to be very helpful for you to, you know, not only wake up energetic, but you feel like, you know, you don't need a long period of sleep, right? Because it's going to optimize your sleep. It's not about how long you sleep, it's how about the quality of your sleep, and that's what, you know, that app does. And you can look at, you know, the apps these days where people, it helps them with their anxiety, their depression, like through meditation. And, you know, meditation is a practice that is something that, you know, the Chinese and they've been practicing, and they're just figuring out the benefits now, right? So I think in terms of the technology and our health, it's going to only improve. Right. That's what I thought. That's what I think.
Yeah. I just had a thought about, so Sheldon, you just mentioned traveling, and when you're traveling, you didn't use technology, it wasn't important. And I think that, you know, applies to a lot of people all over the world. Technology doesn't really seem like a beneficial thing. It just seems kind of like a thing that could be useful, could be helpful, but not necessarily a need. So I was thinking about, well, maybe when we're trying to, you know, decide or measure things or have thoughts about things, maybe we're trying to generalize based on our particular environment. Like, we live in North America, we live in urban cities. A lot of the things that apply to us don't really apply to people in Ecuador on a farm somewhere. So maybe, you know, it'll be helpful to look at things from an angle of, well, this may be good for me in this particular environment. And when I'm outside of this environment, like I'm in a farm, it might not apply. So maybe not. I was just thinking maybe that's kind of what's making it difficult to wrap our heads around a lot of questions, is that we're generalizing it.
I think we are. We are definitely generalizing it. But I think, like, I think there's a lot of reasons. So, for example, when we look at the reasons why we wouldn't need technology on a farm and why we would need technology outside of the farm, it's because of, like, social and cultural creations. That's why we rely on technology so much, you know? Like, with the telephone, with the cell phone, now we can contact each other everywhere, you know? If you're not at work in 5 minutes, I can call you and see where you're at, you know? So, I think it's I'm kind of losing my train of thought here. I think that it's been something that's implemented over time. And you know, I see it a lot of being something that we created. You know, rather than saying that we need this because we live here, I think we should say, we should also recognize this is part of our own creation. We wanted this, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It totally is. I think my train of thought there was in reference to, so let's take, for example, we live in Toronto, or say you live in New York City. It's possible that it would be so much harder to move back to more traditional and older ways of doing things than it would be for people that are currently using older traditional ways to move towards, you know, a bigger urban city's way of life. And so maybe it would be harmful for us as people, or like, let's take your sister, for example, or anyone that's born into 2018.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually be detrimental to that, to them, to their well-being, to their growth, if we try and force old, you know, habits and ideas and ideologies onto them, because they're born into a space and, you know, societal norms where that's the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, no, I totally get it. For me, I think it's crazy even to think about that. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not talking about, you know, millions of years. We're talking about hundreds of years,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're talking about human evolution,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, what is the difference in cognitive and physical abilities of a baby, you know, born 300 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when there was no cell phones and technologies, versus, you know, a baby nowadays who's using
mm-hmm.
this technology.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. It still seems that fascinating, because so many people are always looking for, like, those retreats. They're looking for those getaways. Have you guys ever been on one of those things where you go away? Like, the top vacation is just, you know, going to a resort where you just, you know, do nothing for, like, 7 days and
sit,
just relax and sit on
mm-hmm.
the beach.
Even the meditation stuff, like, people are more, like, they're looking into that, and they're more connecting to their spirituality because of, you know, the technology. Everybody's so, like, so fast-paced. They're so, like, stimulated all the time. They want something where they can just relax their mind, get away, and just have that peaceful area, or that peaceful vacation where they can just, you know, get to know themselves, or get more, you know, deeper learning or understanding of who they are and things like that, right? A journey of learning who they are. And I've noticed that there's more and more of that because of, you know, the technology,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
yeah. That brings up a good question that I have, and I'd love you two to answer, is I know that from my sort of experiences in meeting people that identify as spiritual or has spiritual beliefs, a lot of, in a lot of cases, people tend to think that technology is not good for the spiritual story or the spiritual narrative. And I have, like, I find that very challenging, because from my perspective, I assume if you're spiritual and, you know, you subscribe to the idea that we're all connected and we're all one and that's what this is all about, then why would that exclude technology? Because if you're excluding something, you're automatically no longer subscribing to the idea of one. But I'm very interested to know, because I know a lot of people feel that way, and I don't know if they feel that way in Ecuador in terms of, you know, medicine shamans.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious to understand, like, how can you exclude technology if you're coming from a place of, I am connected to everything?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe it's not so much technology, but I think technology also has a strong relation with materialism. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're always developing new things. There's always new things to be bought, and I think when you're traveling in Ecuador, or you're appreciating what is simply nature, you know, and some people wouldn't define a lot of aspects of nature as technology, but it's in a way it's nature's technology.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah, it's a good question, and I don't know if it's spirituality is about excluding technology or including technology, I think it's kind of a separate, they're on separate planes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people who are spiritual are using technology, I think it depends on the technology. You know, we're using technology to determine now that, you know, water has vibrations. Like, we can actually think happy thoughts about water and to plants.
Yeah.
And that will actually change the vibration and growth of those plants. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's
nuts. So in a certain degree, they can be hand in hand. And yeah, what do you think, man?
What was the question again? How was
What do you think of, you know, the general, and I'm being general here, the general, you know, consensus among the spiritual community that technology is in fact not as positive for us?
Well, you know, when the religious people that I come across, they don't really talk about technology like as if it was a bad thing or a good thing. They're talking more about the principles of the religion, like how to be a better human being, right? Acts of kindness, right? But in terms of, oh, this is bad, or this cell phone is bad, or the technology where we're heading towards, that is, you know, they didn't really talk to me, or I haven't heard anything bad about that. The only thing that stood out to me though was when they try to play and become like God. Like, you know how when it comes to religion, they don't like when things don't, when they play with nature, right? There's a saying, you know, nature laughs last, right? Whenever you try to alternate nature is gonna ultimately win.
Mm-hmm.
And now what they're doing with the babies and the cloning and, you know, so many things like the genetic mutation, right? I believe that, you know, they're trying to be like God. Who are they to control what gender the baby's gonna be, right? Who are they to control how tall or what kind of eyes the baby's going to have, right? So when it comes to those type of things where they try to become, like, they play like a god or try to control the humans in a way where you're supposed to leave it as the way it is, then that's when the religious people come in and be like, you know, they shouldn't, technology should stay away from that. And that's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. It has me thinking about, regardless of what we do as human beings, or say if an animal were to do something, or if a tree were to suddenly start growing in a different way, that's still part of us. That's still part of our nature. It's still an extension of us creating. It's an extension of us, like, expressing ourselves in some way. So how could that be wrong? How could anything we ever do be contrary to nature? If we are, in fact, part of nature, we're part of the whole, we're a unit within it. So, from that angle, it's impossible for us to ever do anything wrong, because we're always within the cohesive whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on wrong, like how you define wrong. If you're looking from an ethical standpoint, you know, we can say that technology is bad because we've created nukes and now can destroy this planet with the press of a button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that better for the rest of the people living on the planet? I don't think so. I think it would be better if we could solve things using our words. You know?
Yeah.
But I think the problem is not necessarily technology, but when we get disconnected from our source, when we get disconnected from who we are, and we use our technology as a means to, to maybe cause pain to others, or it's all about kind of what Iman was saying, where, you know, it depends whose hand the knife is in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So not necessarily, and I think that's what you were getting at, where technology is not necessarily bad or good. It's part of nature. You know, we created it. It just comes down to, you know, what it's being used for.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if living in harmony with the world and everything around you is more, not so much about what you end up doing or what it looks like, but more about the motivation behind what you're doing. The intention that you have. I think that goes back to Abraham Hicks at some point, talked about what influence are you under when you're eating, say, junk food versus a healthy salad. What influence are you under? What's your intention? What are you motivated by? Are you motivated by this what I'm eating or this what I'm doing is good for me, then I think maybe just motivation is a lot more important. It has more value.
Yeah.
Rather than what you actually end up doing.
Yeah, intention. I mean, intention has been a word that I've heard a lot this past 6 months, and it seems to be very important in terms of determining or recognizing your intention before you do something. You know, with today, a lot of us have habits that we do. They say we think 90% of the same thoughts that we thought yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of
same
habitual.
Thoughts.
Yeah, that's a lot of same thoughts. You know, and how often are we asking ourselves whether these thoughts are ones that are in line with our goals, or in line with what we want to do with our life, in line with the type of person that we want to be? And I think if 90% are the same, we're not tweaking it a lot, you know?
That's why it's hard for humans to change, right? Because we're doing same thing all over again, thinking about the same things.
Right.
So it's hard for us to actually step out of our box. And that's going to be one difficult task to do, especially with the habits that's going to be hard to, you know, break.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder on a collective level what are, you know, like if we were to say the collective is an entity, what is that entity's repetitive 90% thought? What are the habits of that collective entity?
I think it would be thought itself, you know.
Ooh.
I think it would be thought itself. You know, so many times I feel like I was saying this to you the other day, we've been to seminars where we're learning about thought and how people think and what is the purpose of life, what is the meaning of thought, and you know, it's the question is sometimes for me, it's like, why are we even thinking about this? You know, like, where are these thoughts coming from? It's like, we've been shot in the arrow, or we've been shot in the leg with this arrow that's thought, and, you know, rather than taking this arrow out, we're just spending the rest of our life thinking about this arrow and why it's in our leg.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who shot this arrow, you know? But yeah,
that could be another podcast by itself,
yeah,
just
no kidding.
On thought,
yeah.
Right? I got, you know, there's so many things I could talk about that also. Right, but we'll try to stay on topic for now.
Yeah, but collective habits. Any thoughts, Eman? Any thoughts?
Like habits?
Yeah. Collective habits. As like a collective consciousness, what are habits that we share as a... I think addiction to technology.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When people lose their phone, they freak out. It's crazy when people...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have this addiction to technology, and I think a lot of us don't even recognize that it's happening.
Well, if you look how technology and Instagram and how Facebook is designed, the people that designed it were like engineers, attention engineers, what they call it, where, you know, they're trying to keep as much of your attention as possible because that's how they make their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time you scroll your Facebook, you scroll on your Instagram, it's structured in a way where you have a dopamine release. It's like you're doing drugs, right? So that's how people are getting addicted to all these social media, all these phone apps, right? Because it's structured that way. They built and designed it in a way for you to get addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why, you know, we look everywhere when you go to restaurants, buses, public, everybody's on their phone because the technology is designed that way, so it's kind of hard for you to, you know, once you start, it's kind of hard for you to get out of it.
Yeah, and right, even a sense of reliance is built on it, you know, like I can't think of the phone numbers that I remember that are not on my phone,
right.
You know, once upon a time, I used to remember all of the numbers on my phone.
Like, right?
Yeah.
What's the last number?
Yeah, and, you know, we rely on the phone for alarms. I don't even know how I would get through school without a laptop, you know,
right.
it even like learning has become something that we rely on technology for rather than really just, you know, so yeah. What are your thoughts, Gabby?
On what?
on technology or on your question regarding like collective habits?
One thing that I thought of regarding collective habits was fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a collective habit. In terms of technology, again, I'm having trouble talking about technology without thinking about, does this actually apply to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to include people, for example, going back to UBI, that are below the poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have cell phones. They don't have this issue.
Mm-hmm.
People all over the world, especially third world countries, they don't have this issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue that's, you know, really just applies to us in the privileged world.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world doesn't think about social media, doesn't use their phone for alarms, doesn't do any of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. They still have pretty much, you know, their communities and their tribes, and that's how they communicate and do things.
But quick question, is it because that they haven't been exposed to technology yet? Is that a factor?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
They don't have access to it.
But if they were exposed to that technology, do you think it would be this?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I have no idea what the answer to that is. I don't know how people will react. I think we became this way, as you know, you mentioned at some point, through a process. It happened through a process. I don't know that other people will react in the same way. I don't know what their values are. I haven't traveled enough. I haven't sat down with people all over the world. I don't know what they care about. I just can't tell. But for us, yeah, I think we rely on technology, and without it, our lives would be in shambles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly wouldn't be doing this podcast.
No.
But then we can, you know, people have now a chance to listen to our conversation
mm-hmm.
and, you know, get maybe a different perspective on life
yeah.
or whatever this topic that we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back to intention.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It all depends on your intention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about technology and freedom?
Yeah, go on.
But maybe let's, you know, kind of thinking about what you were saying
mm-hmm.
about not everybody having access to technology. But I guess I was kind of thinking about, you know, how has technology, you know, in the last 10 years, 15 years, changed the way that we look at our freedom and what it means to be free in kind of like a first world country like Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's a pretty big question.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things to say. But one thing, just to tie it into what we have been talking about, the idea of job displacement and technology taking over a lot of things that we have been doing as humans, for me, means more freedom as people to pursue other things. Like if you want to be a painter, I can start painting. If you want to be a cyclist, start biking.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you the time and the space to do that instead of spending 8 hours a day working at a job, because now you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that sense, it's given us a lot more freedom, and it has the potential to give us more.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, now with the technology, you can work wherever you want. Even with things that you didn't think would count as a job, like a YouTuber or Instagrammer or Facebook or a blogger, right?
Mm.
That didn't exist 20 years ago, right? 30 years ago, that you can't make a living off, you know, blogging. But now, when there's people making a killing, you know, 6, 7, 8 figures from blogging. But it also comes to, you know, there's consequences, because now it gets competitive, right? People in Canada are now going to be competing with people in Asia and India, because
mm-hmm.
technology has allowed everybody the same access
mm-hmm.
in terms of information and technology. So, you know, resource is going to be, well, it's going to be scarce. But I'm saying it's going to be competitive. Like human nature, it's part of our evolution, right? It's just always going to be competitive. There's always going to be competition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you brought that up. That's such a good point. The fact that technology has started so many jobs that didn't exist 100 years ago, even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many new jobs and so many new industries.
Yeah.
So many new innovations, all because of technology.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, if you just look at what we've done the last 5, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're saying that the technology era didn't even start yet, right? And I was listening to podcasts like 5-10 years is that that's when like the big stuff is gonna come, like, you know, AI technologies and things like that. So, you know, if last 10 years we didn't see anything yet, and like looking back, that's already a lot of things that happened. Mm-hmm. Imagine the next 5 years, 10 years. How are, you know, our life is gonna be when we're 30 years older?
Yeah.
You know, how society is, right?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna change so much.
Exactly. You know, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk is trying to put people on the moon and the star and on Mars. So, yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I heard Japan was working on building an elevator to the moon.
Right.
What?
Yeah. How does that work?
Well, they were thinking about having something put into orbit, maybe a station or a giant asteroid that's already in orbit.
Yeah.
And then attaching kind of like a cable to that asteroid and running an elevator system.
But does it, the asteroid move?
Yeah, it would be in orbit.
It's around all the time.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
so it would be rotating with...
It's to the Earth gravity.
Incredible how far technology has taken us.
Yeah.
You know?
There's really no limit to what you can do. And, you know, just your imagination, right?
Yeah.
Your imagination is, you know, the only thing. It's going to hold you back.
Goes back to all of those, you know, books, Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, the creation books where as long as you can think it, you can create it. And I think we certainly see a lot of that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Einstein said imagination is more powerful than knowledge, right?
Yeah. I believe that, so.
Any more topics we're going to discuss for today's podcast?
There's not any huge questions that pop out in my mind. Does anyone have any final thoughts or questions?
I pretty much covered a lot. We pretty much covered
a lot
today.
We did cover a
lot. Yeah, in terms of our topic. We don't want to go spread out too broad today.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can close her down and
yeah. Go for it.
All right. Well, I guess we want to say thank you for everybody who's listened.
I hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, I hope you learned a thing or two.
Yep.
Yeah, we're looking to make podcasts maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for us, and if you feel like there's a topic maybe that you wanna hear about, or shoot us an email or shoot us or message us on whatever platform.
Will they be able to subscribe here?
Yeah, they can.
Okay,
they
good.
Can subscribe to
our podcast. Do it now.
Yes, do it now.
And shameless plug, follow me on Instagram, Prince_Emmanuel. Anybody else want to get their plug in?
I'll come up with one. Back to this.
I need a better plug.
Okay,
we know who has the marketing experience here. All right, Eman. All right, Gabby, wonderful having this podcast with you guys, and look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Yep.
Sounds good. See ya.
Bye.
See ya.